Right, so this morning we're going to do communion and baptism. And what could the two have to do with one another? And how do we put them together? Well, that's going to be the message this morning. But let me read just a portion of Scripture. There's a lovely chapter in Acts chapter 2. And the whole chapter is, well, in actual fact, Acts is quite an exciting story. But just part of Peter's sermon. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon the church, and now Jesus has been risen and resurrected, and he sent his Spirit, the disciples now are getting on with the job. And Peter stands up and preaches a sermon. Now, it's an amazing sermon, but just towards the end of it, from verse 32 of chapter 2 of Acts, Peter says, God raised Jesus. He raised Jesus to life. He was resurrected. He was raised from the dead. He was ascended to the Father. But he was resurrected from the grave to life. And he says, and we were all witnesses to it. He was exalted to the right hand of God, and he received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see. And here, for David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he still said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And then Peter says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off. That's us. You and your children and all that were far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them, he pleaded with them, save yourself from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So our baptism will be a slightly shorter. We don't quite have the 3,000. I think there's five of us today that have been baptized. But that's just, a word from the early church and the birth of this church. So as I said, today we're going to combine communion and baptism. And these two powerful practices, these rituals, these routines of ours, at a simple level, they really just speak about the life, the ministry of Jesus, what he's done for us, and how we participate in it as well. So these two rituals, ceremonies, routines, whatever word you want to use, I was talking to Alex about sacraments, and Alex was like, I don't like that word. So, sacrament sounds very like we need some bells and smells and things like that. So central to the main sort of Protestant evangelical church are these two rituals, baptism and communion. The Catholics have seven, of which these two are a part, but these two are central to us. And so baptism. Baptism, in actual fact, was an ancient practice. It was even celebrated by the Jews for people that were converts to Judaism. There was a convert baptism at the day around the centuries before Jesus and around the time of his ministry and that. So this was an ancient practice. But John went into the wilderness, and all our Gospels, three of them, the synoptics, actually start with that. So central to the beginning of Jesus' ministry was this baptism by John. And I think because of that, It is within our Christian history and for the Christian faith, it has remained the central tenet. Because at the outset of Jesus' ministry, he was baptized by John. So that was a baptism of repentance. Slightly different. We have a bit of a different emphasis now since Jesus' resurrection, that we'll talk about. But it's exciting to see how Jesus submitted to John's baptism. And it becomes a powerful image for us as well to participate in it. So, for faith, this image of going into the water, being risen or resurrected out of the water, it's a picture of salvation. But not just salvation, it's an image of, in actual fact, the life of a believer. So a couple of things is that obviously on one level, for us, and that's what's different to John's baptism, is that it is a picture of Calvary. Since Jesus' death and resurrection, in a sense, baptism has taken on a whole new meaning. Because for us, it echoes, it mirrors what happened at Calvary. Jesus descended into death. He was baptized into the grave, so to speak. He was submersed in sin and death and evil. That he would die on our behalf, that he would take our sin, that he would conquer the grave, and that he would be resurrected to new life. So baptism symbolizes that. As we are baptized, as we remember our own baptisms, there's this gift, this incredible gift, as we sang about this morning, of God's love for us, that he would give his one and only son, Jesus. That Jesus would submit himself to that incredible, horrendous death so that we would be resurrected to new life. So that's on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's a picture to us that we too surrender our lives, that we too lay down our lives, that we would be resurrected to the new life of the kingdom of God. So in one sense, there is this powerful picture of turning, of leaving, of surrendering, of laying down, of giving our lives. So I shared this before, I've shared it quite often, but for me the picture is so powerful with John's baptism. John was in the wilderness. People walked away from the city. Everything that would attract and distract. They walked with their backs to the city. They walked away from the temple. They walked away from the oppression of Rome. The corruption, the system that could no longer save. They literally walked out from that. They walked into the wilderness. And they were submerged in the Jordan. And that picture is still so profound for me today. Because there is so much that the world calls us to, that the world offers us, that the ways of this world, Peter says here in the speech, this corrupt generation is always saying, look at the trinkets I have for you. Look at all these sparkly things. And the way of Jesus is most often a walking away to follow him into a different way of life and into a new life. So, this picture, for those that have been back. Who else is there? Where's Asher? Hello. And Catherine. So we're not going to do this today. But you know what? There's stories in the ancient church, in the early, the first few centuries, is they would go down to a river, and you would bring your old clothes. So maybe, I don't know, you know, the clothes that everyone recognized you in the street with. You know, you had a favorite garment or something like that, you know. And people would go, oh, you know, that's Laurie or that's Craig. So they'd recognize you by your clothes. You would go down to the river in those clothes. And what is a little bit ambiguous, but on the one side of the river, you would take those clothes off. So I'm not sure to what extent, but it was like you would. So we're not going to do that. Just relax, girls. Okay. And you would take those clothes off, symbolizing, I too am taking off what I've learned, how people have recognized me, my old ways, my old habits, and I'm leaving them on this side of the river. And you would go down into the river. Nowadays, pastors and leaders go into the water with you. Maybe there were some mishaps. But in those days, they would go into the river by yourself. You would come out on the other side, and the bishop of that city or town was waiting on the other side. And as you came out of the river, he would clothe you with a new robe that you've never worn, to symbolize that we are clothed in Christ, in his garments, in his righteousness, in his salvation. And he puts on clothes for us for a whole new world and new kingdom. Ah, we should have some version of that, eh? So I loved this picture. We used it a few weeks ago. So there's this negative, or, you know, I don't want to say it like that. There's this picture of leaving. There's this picture of turning. There's this picture of throwing off, which is a powerful picture. But there's also this invitation where Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And there is an invitation to follow Jesus into new creation, new life, to say, I have learned so many ways of living that just don't give life. Maybe you have. This world offers to us so many ways that drag us down, that undermine us, that pull us down, that weigh heavily on us. And Jesus offers us a different way. He says, come to me, all you who are weary, all you who are heavy laden. Come to me and you will find rest. And he says, take my yoke, or like in this baptism, take my garments. You know, take my robes. Take that upon you, because they're easy. And you will find rest. You will find a way to live in this world where the new Adam, Paul calls him the second Adam, says this is the way we were created to be. So just to close on baptism and for us to go into communion. So baptism, and this is important for us, baptism is not salvation. Baptism is not a rite of deliverance or transformation. If we have besetting sin in our life, if we are, you know, wanting to walk closer to Jesus or more holy, there's no magical formula in baptism. This baptism symbolizes It is a picture of what we do. What we have done in our hearts, we have said, I'm throwing off the old, I'm following Jesus. And now it's a public demonstration. And you see, this is the point, is that, you know, for many of us, the decision to follow Jesus can happen publicly, but it can happen very personally. It's something that happens within. Jesus promises us a new heart. But it was never meant to stay personal or individualistic or secret. This is not a secret sect. And therefore, baptism is always meant to be public. It's always meant to be with your faith community, your family and friends, to say, this is what has already happened in my heart. So it may, we trust today, that it is a profound experience, that it strengthens and solidifies that commitment. But the hard truth is that our baptism reminds us how we need to live. It's not going to make it easier. You're not going to get a turbo charge as a Christian so that now, you know, it's going to be easier not to sin or to say no. No. Our Christian life, it's terrible. I have to say no. I have to keep saying no. I have to keep laying off. And I have to keep saying yes to Jesus. And that's what baptism reminds us of. So communion. Baptism we do once. We don't do it every time we sin. Some of us would live in the pool. Communion we do so often. Communion is meant to be done regularly, even daily if you want. And communion, you see, communion echoes the same thing. So on the one hand, you know, when I became a Christian, I was like, when we break bread, we take the bread, and we thank Jesus for his sacrifice that he paid for my sin. And that's true. We thank Jesus that when we break bread, that he was crucified so I won't have to be. That he was raised to new life. He was the firstborn of the new creation. So that when we die, we will be raised with him to everlasting life. So most of us understand communion like that. And if you're visiting today, apologies, your family can explain to you, but I said often, it's a con job. We were foxed. Because what happens when we break bread is we are participating. We are taking his sacrifice. And if you now mirror baptism, we are saying, I too need to lay down my life. I too, in order for me to experience resurrected life, there are things in my life that need to die. And I didn't always get that. You know, I always think of all the benefits of Christianity, you know. Come to Jesus and be blessed. He'll make you rich and famous, healthy and, I don't know, you know. It's like, so we come and we start taking communion. And the Holy Spirit goes, for what we are about to receive, your life is mine. And it's amazing. So, there's this connection. Every time we break bread, we remember, Jesus said, remember my sacrifice. Do this in remembrance of me, 1 Corinthians 11. But the truth is that every time we remember him, we are baptizing ourselves. We are submerging ourselves into following him. And that is the only way that we will really taste and experience the life of the kingdom in this life. Because it's not just about when we die. It's about how we live. And that's why communion is such a powerful symbol. Jesus gave his life away, and he invites us to do the same, to give our lives like he did, that we would also experience a resurrected life.